you, Leah. Thank you, Hector and Kathy. Now we got some new talent here. Amen. I did not know that. So now we know. You have to come up and sing all the time. Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. It is so good to see you here today in the house of the Lord, worshiping our Creator in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know, with this time of year, there's always camp meetings that happen. And we know that some people want to be at the camp meeting. And I know some of us here today are at that camp meeting that's going on in Jasper. And so what I thought we would do every year, is, while I'm here anyway, is that we would have camp meeting right here. You know, at a camp meeting, you usually see someone that's one of these people that's on one of the programs, like It Is Written or something like that. But today, you know, you may not recognize our speaker, Al, but Al, because he represents Adventist World Radio. Amen. So you don't see them on the radio, right? But Al is a famous speaker. In fact, he's spoken over 300 churches, and for 24 years he's worked for Adventist World Radio. And so, Al, why don't you come up here as we invite him up to be our camp meeting speaker today. I hope that you're going to be telling Al some of those stories about the angel stories.
That's right.
And I'm praying that today, you know, we hear about how the Muslims are being reached by Adventist World Radio, and I'm praying you'll tell us about that.
I will.
Most of all, I really want to hear your conversion story.
Okay.
So with no further ado, I'd like to just have a prayer for Al, and then we're going to turn it over to him. Father in heaven, I just thank you for the mission that's going all around the world, that you're reaching people in every single facet of life, through radio, through television, through satellite, and personal witnessing. Lord, today as we look at Adventist World Radio and the things that are happening there, I pray for Al that you would inspire him with your word, that as we look in the text of the scriptures, that he would be presenting to us today, that we would be changed. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we're going to have some excitement today. I've looked forward to being in this church for a long time. I've had the opportunities a few times. This morning, our president from Washington, D.C. headquarters wanted to be here. And I told him that I would share the pulpit with him and he would come. And at the last minute, he had some other things come up and he couldn't be it. So I give you greetings from Dowell Chow, our president. Adventist World Radio is not a local station, it's worldwide. We have a giant station out in Guam. I've been out there twice. And we just upgraded it. We put in new antennas that have been designed so we can reach further out. And we lease other 10 transmitters, so we're reaching the world from every direction. And I'm pretty excited. Aren't you excited to see the signs of Jesus coming in the world today? Every time you turn on the news, you're getting an announcement that Jesus is coming soon. Now, I realize there's people here this morning in a church this size that you've heard this all your life. And so what's new? Well, let me tell you what's new. When a child is born, the mother has pains to start with far apart. But as the event gets closer, the pains get closer together. And that's what's happening right now around the world. Jesus is coming soon. And don't forget it. We need to think about it and pray about it, that Jesus is coming soon, coming very soon. You know, I've been preaching about second coming of Jesus for some time. And then I got to looking at my own life. I didn't have what the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Amen. And as I go from church to church, I find divorces. I find people that get mad and upset. I find in my own life that I used to do these things. And so I prayed. And here's what the Holy Spirit directed me to do. And I pass it on to you. And I hope it'll be a help to you. If we would put into practice what the Holy Spirit has told me, we would never, ever have a divorce again. Listen carefully. Every single morning, the Holy Spirit has directed me to pray for the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, and temperance in all things. But I add something else, that I won't moan or groan or complain about anybody or anything. You know, that's made a different person out of me. Now I can look at the news events and I can see Jesus coming. And I'm closer to Jesus this morning than I've ever been in my life. And I pass it on to you. We need to shape up, folks. I mean, we talk about Jesus coming, but how many of us are ready for Jesus to come? Here's some more signs that Jesus is coming. In our own church, I've been with Adventist World Radio for 24 years. When we first started, we decided that we would try to reach the hardest nations in the world. And so the General Conference has picked out 100 languages. Now I know there's over 200 languages in the world, but they picked out 100 that people can understand. We tried, we got 60, finally we got 80. And somebody came to me not long ago and they said, Al, how much longer do you think it'll get 100 languages? I said, well, at the rate we're going, it'll probably take 2 more years. Are you ready for some excitement? I'm happy to announce in the Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church that we now have nearly 100 languages. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Out on the table out there, you'll see a lot of literature. And none of the expense of that came from your offering. 100% of the material that you see out on the table came from an endowment fund from the General Conference. My travel expenses comes from an endowment fund from the General Conference. So 100% of anything you give goes to give the message around the world. Before I give my testimony, I'd like to have prayer. My dear Father in heaven, you know the help that I need. You know what I've been through. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured out. May this be a testimony to show how prayers are answered for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. December the 7th, 1941. I was on a battleship out in Pearl Harbor. I realize most of you weren't born, and some of you were just little children. But I'm telling you the experience that I've had of how prayers are answered. On December the 6th, 1941, we were told to go get our Christmas cards and mail them so they could get back to the mainland in time. We didn't use airmail in those years. And so I went in. I wrote lots of letters. I got back to the ship late, so I thought, well, I'll go in the emergency radio room. I was a radioman, and there was no one in that compartment, and I locked down the doors, and I was going to sleep in. At 8 o'clock in the morning, they started hammering on the door. Let us in. There's a war going on. I said, you guys are crazy. Get out of here. And then I felt that mighty battleship rock. Battleships don't rock. I've been on that battleship when we fired 16-inch guns broadside. It pushes the ship aside a little bit, but it doesn't rock. I knew something was going on, and then I started hearing bombs and blasts going on. I opened that door, and men came flooding in the compartment like it was a flood of water. 180 Japanese airplanes attacked us. You know, at the air shows you see a lot of airplanes in the air, but you've never seen 180 airplanes. I mean, it's a dramatic thing. I'm surprised that those planes didn't crash into each other. 180. And then they announced there was a lull. Man your gas mask, because they'll probably come back and gas us. So I volunteered. I went up to the next deck, and I got an armload of gas mask. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I'll just look out the porthole. And all I could see was black smoke up and down Pearl Harbor. I thought, wait a minute. I shouldn't be seeing anything. There was a big battleship tied up alongside of us blocking that porthole. The USS Oklahoma. And then I looked down. In just 15 minutes' time, the USS Oklahoma, a battleship the same size I was on, the USS Maryland, was upside down. Men were hammering on the hull, trying to get attention so they could take cutting torches and cut holes. I watched them pull men out of there with tears streaming down their cheeks and their arms up to God, praising the Lord that they got out, but thousands upon thousands didn't make it. I ran back to the emergency radio room with my armload of gas mask, and sure enough, they came back with 150 more Japanese airplanes. And they finished off what the first ones had tried to do. Now, what I'm going to tell you next, I didn't know until a few years later. I read a little pamphlet by the Japanese officer that was in charge. And he said he sent all the Japanese planes back to their carriers, and then he circled to see what damage there was. He had two bombs under the wings of his plane that he hadn't used. And he looked down and he could see one battleship, the USS Maryland that I was on, was not damaged or hit in any sort of way. He dived at full power, released the bomb, and it was a direct hit right over my head. Dropped that big bomb and it just rolled off slowly in the water. It didn't go off. I shouldn't be here this morning. And I know that. And you know what? I didn't give my heart to the Lord going through all this. What does it take to bring a person to Jesus? Listen to the rest of the story. He went back up to another high altitude and dropped the second bomb, and it did go off on the forward part of our ship, and it set our ship on fire. And we had to flood the compartment so it wouldn't blow up like the USS Arizona. And then we were still the least damaged ship. In 5 days' time, they towed us over to Pearl Harbor. made temporary repairs so our ship could go back to the United States for permanent repairs. We got back to the United States, and I was transferred to a brand new ship just being completed in Camden, New Jersey, the USS Columbia. I should have known the trouble I was going to get in. I saw guns were lined up on the port and the starboard sides, 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters, and the main batteries of 5-inch guns. At the early part of World War II, we didn't know if we would have to learn to speak Japanese or not, because they destroyed most of our fleet at Pearl Harbor. The few ships that we had left were just being manufactured. This was a brand new ship that I was transferred to. We sailed out through the Panama Canal. And I'm not going to take the time to tell you all the battles I was in for 17 months. 17 miserable months. They finally announced we're going to dry dock. Oh, we got so happy. If you're going to dry dock, we're going home. We sailed out of the war zone, and we were in some islands out of the war zone. There was the funniest looking thing that looked like it was sunk, and we slowly sailed right over the top of it. What a disappointment. They'd manufactured a floating dry dock. They hadn't even had a chance to try it out yet. They didn't know if it would lift us out of the water or not. So they started pumping water out slowly, foot by foot. That ship came all out of the water. And then they took the barnacles off. When you're out in those warm waters for 17 months, you get barnacles an inch and a half, 2 inches thick, and it slows the ship down. They took those barnacles off, and they'd just got through manufacturing a new paint so they could paint the hull of the ship so it'd go faster in the water. And then they told us why they were doing this. Our ship had been picked as a guinea pig. We were to go into a heavy fortified Japanese area in the Solomon Island area and draw the attention on us so the Marines could land safely on the other end of the island. We were told the chances of survival was pretty slim. And so that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't want to die when I was 22 years of age then, and I don't want to die when I'm 93 either. And so I went down to my locker. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave some of us servicemen a little white Bible. I meant to bring it up here this morning and I forgot. And I started reading it. It was just the New Testament, but in the back was the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalms 91 took my attention. Especially Psalms 91 verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I took God at his promise. Amen. I went into that battle that night, and we caught the Japanese asleep just like they caught us asleep. We opened up every gun we had. They must have felt the whole world had attacked them. But then they came alive, and they started firing the main batteries. They started firing torpedoes. And at the high speed we were going, we could duck those torpedoes. But finally, there was a torpedo coming dead ahead. No matter which way we turned, it was going to get us. Oh. How I prayed, Lord, I'm in your mercy. I want to serve you the rest of my life. Lord, I'm at your mercy. I waited and waited. Finally, an announcement came. I couldn't believe what happened. That torpedo came to the bow of our ship, dived underneath it, and came out the back and never touched us. We got out of that harbor with only one shell that went through the radar mast. We sailed at high speed and got out of the war zone. And I remember that next morning, I'm standing on the lifelines having a prayer meeting, praising Jesus. I have never felt closer to Jesus in my life than this morning. Because through the years, Jesus has meant something to me. And I'm aware, at 93 years of age, I shouldn't be able to stand up here and speak the way I am. I give Jesus the credit. I take no medications, and I praise his name for that. I wake up every morning feeling like I did when I was 19, but there's one trouble. I can't remember what that was like. But I am happy to work for Jesus. And don't ask me when I'm going to retire. You ask Jesus. Even if somebody has to prop me up here, I'm going to work for Jesus. I'm booked up solid into October every Sabbath. I don't take any time off anymore. Since my wife passed away 5 years ago, I've felt so lonely. We were married for 67 years. And I got to keep busy. And it's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit is a comfort to me. Amen. And as I stand up here and talk to you and try to encourage you to come to Jesus, oh, it warms my heart. I have never been happier in my life. Well, there's more to that story, but we'll stop, because I don't want to keep you here any longer than your normal time is coming here. I want to take you to reality now, to Adventist World Radio. Somebody has been asking us if we could reach the Muslims. You ready for some excitement? Amen. We had, in an area we were broadcasting in, there were 30 Muslims that was listening very carefully, but they did not accept the message. But the leader of the Muslims was in that meeting, and he'd been listening to Adventist World Radio, and he accepted 27 fundamental beliefs, but the 28th one he couldn't. Couldn't see keeping the Sabbath. He'd kept Sunday all of his life. One night he was home. A knock at his door. He opened up the door and there was a big tall man there. And he said, "I understand you've been listening to Adventist World Radio." Well, he said, yes, I have. Well, he said, "Would you like to have me come in and give you Bible stories? More sermons?" "Oh, yes," he said, "come on in." For almost a month, that man came back and studied with him over and over. Finally, the last night, the leader of the Muslims decided he would join the Seventh-day Adventist Church and keep the Sabbath. He could see the importance of it. And the minute he said that, that man disappeared. So he knew it was an angel. Oh, praise the Lord. He went back into town and he studied with those 30 Muslims and taught them what the angel had taught him. And I'm happy to tell you this morning, all 30 of those Muslims are now Seventh-day Adventists. Let me tell you another Muslim story. We had another one with 200 Muslims. We had an experience. Again, they were listening to Adventist World Radio, and they didn't make any decisions. And so, as time went on, somebody appeared and studied with them. And studied with them a long time. I'll make the story a little bit shorter. And when they decided to keep the Sabbath, the man that was studying with them disappeared. And now they're Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, how I could close with so many stories, I hardly know which one to take first. I've been overseas many times, and I've had personal experiences, and I praise the name of Jesus for that. I had one experience that I just have to share with you. We had an experience with angels. Listen to this story. If there's anyone this morning that's discouraged, listen to this story. If there's anyone this morning that's wondering if you're in the right church, listen to this story. If there's anyone this morning that has put off being baptized but you're thinking about it, listen to this story. We were broadcasting in an area where they wouldn't let Christians go in. There was no minister that could go in. There was no medical people that could go into that country. But we started hearing rumors that people were keeping the Sabbath. We had all we could take. We sent two men in to see what was going on. One of them didn't make it, but the other one that went in came back with this story. He went in to the leader, a chief of one of the villages, and he said, I understand that some of you are keeping the Sabbath. No, he said, that isn't right. Well, tell me, what's going on? Well, he said, we're all keeping the Sabbath. Oh, come on now, what's going on here? And then he revealed this story. He said, one day, two tall men came into our camp, and they handed us a shortwave radio. I meant to bring it up here this morning, and I forgot that. It's out in my case. If any of you want to see those trophies, I have them. And he said, they handed us a radio and showed us where to tune in, Adventist World Radio. Showed us what to tune in, the time and the frequency and the language. Well, the chief of the village said, I thought that was pretty nice. He said, I reached up and took the radio, and he said, the minute I did, they disappeared. So he said, I knew they were angels. And so they started listening. They decided if the God of heaven thought that much of them to send angels down, they better start listening. So they started listening to Adventist World Radio. And they found out that the seventh-day Sabbath was not done away with at the cross. They found out they could keep the seventh-day Sabbath and get a blessing. And so they started doing this. They found out when you die, you don't go to heaven. Why would you go to heaven and then have Jesus come down and get you and you're already up there? They reasoned that. And that's why they're all keeping the Sabbath. I'm going to close with one more sign. I want you to hang on with both hands. This is the most fantastic thing that's happened in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I tell you this so you can see the importance of getting ready to go home with Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? What will happen after you hear this story? We're having more baptisms in North Vietnam than any country in the world. And we got a message, and I wished I had it here to read it to you. The whole Southern Baptist system has joined us now in Hanoi. And besides that, there's 3,000 Missionary Alliance members that have joined us now. We even had a Catholic priest join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I could go on and on, but just suffice it to say, Jesus is coming soon. As we close this morning and sing 432, I want you to look at those lines in the hymnal like you never have before. And I do appreciate someone coming up to help here, because I'm not very good with music.